Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. This morning, Jerry Jones hopped on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton, and they had the discussion. I mean, it felt like from the get, because they had to move it to 8 o'clock this morning. And I know, Kevin, you missed it because of that.
I missed it live. I was ready to go at 8:30, and props to Sean for going, oh, if you miss Jerry or you're hopping in your car to catch Jerry, he had to move to, and we went from there.
I had one of those things where I was waiting to get Lucy ready for school. I was just kind of waiting on her to brush her teeth, and I looked at Twitter, and I saw that they moved it, and I was like, oh, it's happening right now. So I was able to flip it on the Odyssey app, and then when we got in the car, I flipped it over to the radio, and Lucy was like, why are we listening to this? And I was like, just, you got to understand. But if you have the Odyssey app and you want to make any comments, go ahead and hit that little microphone next to the, right in the middle of the screen. Leave us a message, say something to us, and we'll play it for you. We'll all listen to it together and then play them.
That's nice.
As a team. But Jerry Jones this morning went on a kind of a long tangent about feeling like he liked every position. I like our quarterback. I like our receivers. I like our offensive line. I like all these things. But there's one little thing that just keeps kind of popping up, and that is they just need to play better. Here's cut five. Here's Jerry Jones talking about the whether or not they're underperforming or whether or not he has the personnel to do it.
Well, I think they underperforming can mean two things. Statistically, we're getting beat. That's what we're doing. It's not from a lack of effort. You saw us really with our backs against the wall out there in the fourth quarter the other day, and really did not in any way accept that the outcome that we were going to lose that game. That's encouraging to see. You want that in your team. We were playing a team that was a Super Bowl team last year, went to the Super Bowl and had lost the first two games. They stuck to what they do best. They came in here, their quarterback, their run game, all of that worked against a team and us that are still got to put it together. But that's what this game is. That's what it's about.
All right. Couple things. We did go to factchecker.com. Baltimore was not in the Super Bowl last year. That was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
They won. And they didn't play against Baltimore in the Super Bowl.
That was an AFC championship game.
So maybe that's what he meant. Maybe he meant the AFC's Super Bowl.
As you frequently hear it, this weekend, watch the NFC and AFC Super Bowl.
And that is that line of, in the fourth quarter, they came out and they tried and everything, and that just shows me it's not a lack of effort. It's just a lack of not playing well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree that that's the biggest problem, that they aren't playing well enough? Or is there another thing that you're like, no, that's what it is? Because I will admit, the defensive line's not playing well enough.
I am starting to worry more and more that it is personnel. Because think about it. That's the easy answer is we're just not playing well enough, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're in the front office and you helped put this team together.
Yeah.
You what are you going to say?
Look, all the ingredients I got were great.
Yeah.
You're just not cooking them right.
I didn't do a good job putting the team together. And so now I guess we have to go fix it and use some of our assets for that, including $24 to $25 million in cap space that they have right now. Or that's true. Or do you say, hey, we got all the right people. We just need to do better.
Yes.
Like, that's an easy way to put it.
So again, Jerry feels like all the positions are good to go. They just, the effort and playing better. And Mickey echoed that this morning, that he thinks they're not playing well enough in a lot of areas. I think there are two things. I think your running back position is not good enough.
Agreed.
I don't care how hard they play. I don't think they're good enough. Rico Dowdle's going to get a lot more opportunities. I don't think they're good enough. I don't think your defensive tackle area is good enough yet. That doesn't mean they can't be good enough, but right now they are not, and that's hurting everybody on the defense. So that's where I'm kind of looking at that. Now, Jordan Lewis yesterday thinks that everything is about, and man, I really like this too, because every time I've ever asked Broadus about Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, those kinds of coaches, the one thing he always says is the details. The fine details are what those guys are so good at, because they don't let you go into a game not expecting things. And that's why Belichick was so good. Jordan Lewis agrees.
You said people are gunning for you. Why?
You're not detailed.
Because they think you're vulnerable?
We're not detailed in our work. You can take advantage of details. So that's how you win in this league. Everybody's good in this league. It's the details that make you different.
The new scheme with Zim and all that, but a lot of you guys have played together for a while. Is it surprised that the details are something that's coming up?
That's always been a problem.
Whew. Always been a problem.
Yeah, that part right there was the one that I was... now I want to know how far always goes back. Because since Jordan Lewis has been here, there's been coaching changes. And so... were there problems about that whenever Jason Garrett was head coach, and they just haven't been solved since Mike McCarthy has taken over? And who's responsible for those details? It is the coaches. I believe that in the preparation part of it, the players are supposed to take that information, those guidance along the week, and take it to the field and execute that. But paying attention to those details, and maybe it is on those players too, to be seeking out those other little things. You got to be watching dudes' routes over and over. You got to be watching these things to look for that little edge. I go back to Kevin. Let's go back to the Bill Belichick Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons. Have you ever watched the documentary post that where the Patriots talk about how they won that game?
I'm not sure if I have seen that.
There's a section in it where they go over, and it's probably about 10 or 15 minutes of this little documentary, where Bill Belichick and the defensive coordinator at the time, I can't remember his name, he always had the pencil and he coached Detroit for a little bit. They were going over film, and they were noticing that when Julio Jones broke to the right, he was more explosive than when he broke to the left.
Okay.
And so they were saying, if we have this specific alignment, we know they're going to run this play. So we know that if Julio Jones goes to the left, he's going to have a problem breaking because he had an ankle injury. That's a detail
that is impressive.
Why would you pay attention to that?
Yeah.
Because you're paying attention to the details. Those small things that, because there is such a small margin for error in this game, you have to be able to pick up on those little bitty notes that say this is the difference in the game. Knowing that whenever it's third down, I'm not going to get spun around like Diggs did.
Yeah.
On this play, I'm going to be able to make that play. I'm not going to let this happen. Those are the small details that they're talking about, that Jordan Lewis is talking about there. Now, here's Jerry Jones. Let's go to cut 8 here. Commenting on what Jordan Lewis said, because they asked, is it alarming that your players have said the team isn't detailed?
Anybody that's ever been a part of the team knows that there's very seldom a time when that team doesn't have to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. And everybody gets down, you all these terms, look in the mirror, look within yourself, look at what you're doing, think about what you're going to do. Are you studying your opponent hard enough before Sunday, or in this case Thursday? Nobody that's really ever been through success have not had those come to Jesus times when they've had to relook in the mirror, relook at what you're doing, look at what you're doing in context of the guy next to you. And like I said, that's worthy when you're what? Healthy? And we're, relatively speaking, knock on wood, we're healthy. How about when you've got talent? We do have that. Okay, those are the kinds of things that help you. Do we have a quarterback? Of course we have a quarterback, and proud of it. Do we have some great players on the defensive side of the ball? Those are the things you reinforce in your own mind, and then you go out there and look for your mistakes. You can handle it better when you've reinforced those things I'm talking about right now. That's the way you work out of this thing. But I've never been involved in anything, team or otherwise, that didn't have some really tough days involved in it, ever.
And that come the Jesus meeting, Kevin.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And is him saying that Jordan Lewis is telling the team, we got to be better at these things. And it sounded like Jerry agrees that the details are a massive part of what's ailing them right now.
Just like you'd hope that wouldn't happen after week three, right?
That it's that early that you have to have that come to Jesus meeting.
It just feels really, really early.
I agree. I also, when's the right time? You know, because maybe this is the right time for somebody to go in there and be a real son of a bitch. And everybody goes, you know what? Either I'm quitting on you or I'm challenging myself to do exactly what you're saying. Because maybe it is. Maybe you've been successful and you got a little hangover after getting your ass whooped by Green Bay. And you're like, man, look, I know it just takes this. I know how to get into the playoffs. Maybe that is it. Maybe other people have better expectations. Jordan Lewis sounds like he has higher expectations for this team, and he wants to let everybody know it. And he's a guy that'll stand up in the middle of that locker room and tell everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there are some guys that are like, look, man, I'm going to lead by example. There are some guys, you need a voice. You need somebody to stand up and say it. And didn't we have one of those moments? Was it Bennett came in here and was like, why do I have to be the voice in this room right now? This is a whole team of really good players. Nobody's standing up and saying, let's do this thing. So hopefully that does change. Hopefully that's the process. It's just in the details and they can iron all that out. I do question, though, has it always been that way under a Mike McCarthy team where the details are just the fine points that aren't getting picked up on?
That's a good question.
And so that's where, you know,
we need Bobby on the horn. He'll help us out.
I think he knows. I think I know what his answer would be. Nope. Yes. He's terrible at it. All right. So that's where the Cowboys discussion ends there. Kevin, I wanted to go to the basketball world. And no, I'm not talking Mavericks right now, although I'm very excited about the Mavericks.
Media days on Monday, you know.
I'm so excited. The Toronto Raptors have announced that they will finally retire Vince Carter's number this upcoming season. And Vince Carter, Kevin, do you remember the night that I texted you and said Vince Carter was coming to Dallas?
No.
All I said was Vinsanity. It was just all caps, Vinsanity.
I'm sorry. It should have made more of an impact.
You were as down. It was basically like the second time Mike Napoli came here. You were like, what's he going to be?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care. It's Vince Carter, one of my favorite players of all time. I'm excited he's going to wear a Mavericks jersey. But you know what that move was, Kevin? We got a little bit out of him. We got some juice out of him.
We did.
He was always a very kind person while he was in the locker room. And then we got the opportunity to interview him at the golf thing too. Even though he was a UNC guy. But Kevin, he wasn't the same guy. It was kind of like the the Sammy Sosa signing for the Rangers, the Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah.
You're getting the end of their career.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, it helps fill some seats there, too. So that's going to happen. And then this.
There is controversy about that, though.
Oh,
Corey Majors.
Why controversy?
I know you're trying to move on without addressing the controversy. Word is, there are supposedly some in the Toronto organization that do not approve of him becoming the first Raptor to get their jersey retired because they thought he was a jerk forcing his way out of the franchise. And they're like, why would we give this particular honor to somebody who's going to be problematic?
Oh my gosh,
your
response.
Kidding me?
Vince Carter spent the first 800 years of his career meddling in Toronto. He put Toronto on the map. Kevin, he was top 16 for MVP voting three straight times. Mm. Rookie of the year for that team. Don't forget that.
He's top 16? Impressive.
He was top 10 one time. Top 11 twice. I don't know what you want from me here, Kevin. And then he was like, look, Toronto, I don't understand the currency system here. Please let me go back and play in like New Jersey or Brooklyn or something.
Was that the reason he needed to leave?
I don't know.
The currency,
but he
system.
Put Toronto on the map. Nobody had ever even heard of the city until Vince Carter had showed up in
that
place.
The Blue Jays win back-to-back World Series.
I love Vince Carter, Kevin. So they can just get over it, all right, in Toronto.
Okay. I'm not saying me. I'm not part of the Toronto Raptors organization.
True. I understand that. When did the Canadians get all upset about stuff, though? The Canadians are like, oh my gosh, we got to keep this guy out of it. They're the nicest people.
I want that as a drop, just in case. You never know what could happen in the future.
And I know we got to get out of here, Kevin, but Baker Mayfield said he brought joy to Tampa after the high-strung Tom Brady had everybody stressed out.
Okay.
Because he would play mind games with everybody.
What is the more shocking claim to you? Corey that saying Toronto wasn't on the map until Vince Carter got there, or Baker Mayfield saying, hey, now everyone's happy that I'm here.
Yes.
That iron-fisted Tom Brady, who only won us a Super Bowl, we're glad he's gone.
From the 469, didn't even know Canada was real until Vince Carter. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
The Toronans are all upset. Oh my gosh, Kevin, it's happened.
I don't know what's happening.
The Flagtober Tour 2024 schedule for Saturday, September 28th has been released. Gavin Dawson has posted it on Twitter. So if you want to see all the locations where you can get your G-Bag Nation Whataburger, Southern Leisure.
We'll get back. Were you about to say the G-Bag Flagtober was brought to you by Seizure Living?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Well, if you want that flag.
Or if you want to hear Corey in G-Bag of the Day.
Go check out Gavin Dawson's Twitter right now so you can get the Flagtober Tour 2024.
I kind of feel like I need to show up at that Garland location. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday Tailgate. Volunteering for an ass-kicking history for Temple. And the future is now. All of it next, right here on The Fan.
Trying to get one more play squeezed into this first quarter. Yamaliava off the play fake. Right down the seam, and it's caught by Dante Thornton. A foot race. They won't catch him. 66 to the house.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate. So we bring in Carter Freeman to have our discussions.
Trying to get me to leave playing that. OU negative highlight right
there.
Yeah,
for real, man. What's up with that?
Well, let me go back to my text now because you said that. If you wouldn't have said that, I would have just let it be. But instead, let's go find Carter on my text list. Oh, crap. I forgot my birthday was Saturday, so it's kind of
I'll stand on this, too. No, I'll say I did think OU could beat Tennessee.
Yeah, he said OU is going to win this game. Carter.
I did.
They did not.
It was a thumping.
Well, in the immortal words of Mike Bassick, they tried. The offense did, at least. The defense for OU was very, very impressive. I think Tennessee is going to have a top 10 offense in the country by the end of the season. And they held them in check. I mean, Tennessee only scored 6 points in the second half, two field goals. And it was that busted play, the 66-yard touchdown that they just had. Other than that, the defense was incredible, but the offense was so so bad that they benched a, you know, this heralded five-star freshman or sophomore quarterback Jackson Arnold for a freshman in his first real game action. And he actually moved the ball. That's how bad Jackson Arnold was in that game.
How much do you attribute to the offensive line for OU for their troubles right now?
It's a good bit, but even with the offensive line struggles, Jackson Arnold was still making mistakes.
And he, from the first time he stepped on a field within OU in their bowl game.
His third pass in that bowl game was a pick. And he turned the ball over four times in that game. And in the five games he's played now that he started from that bowl game to now, he's turned the ball over 10 times.
That's a lot, Kevin.
To a game.
It's too many.
Now, in the least surprising story that could have possibly happened in college football, Utah State is joining the Pac-12. The reason why I say we knew this was going to happen, who are the two members of the Pac-12 at this moment?
Oregon State and Washington State.
Oregon State and Washington State. Here are the other people they've added. Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Colorado State. So, Mountain West, they should have been suspicious that Utah State was going to leave. My question, will the Pac-12 get back to 12 teams before the season is over in terms of future planning? And will every single one of them say state at the end of it?
They are in a West Coast state of mind, if you will, Kevin.
Is that the answer you want to give?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, they have one more state from the Mountain West they could pilfer, and that's San Jose State. And that would bring them to 8.
Most of those aren't even states. That's what's annoying about it. They're cities.
Yeah, I saw a tweet earlier that was a bunch of other schools they could add to where half the teams, they're all state teams, but half of them are actual states and half of them are not states.
Okay.
They could split them into, you know, two divisions of six that way. But yesterday was a really wild day of realignment in college football because the American Athletic Conference schools that the Pac-12 was looking at, Memphis, Tulane, South Florida, and UTSA, all said, we're staying. It was a money thing where I believe they would have had to have paid like $25 million to leave the American to go to the Pac-12. Then the Mountain West, the 8 remaining schools at the time, were going to sign an agreement to say, we're all staying together. We're going to get more money, this X, Y, and Z. Seven of the eight signed. Utah State was the one that didn't. They left. So now it's like UNLV is looking at potentially going to the Pac-12. Air Force is looking at going to the American. So in the next couple of days, we could see the dissolution of the Mountain West into really just becoming the Pac-12 because pretty much all of those teams will end up in a conference that has a history. The name has history and more money that will be associated with it. But it's basically the same conference with a new name.
Let's go to cut number 12 if we can, because this was a huge game for the Metroplex.
And this is returnable from the 31-yard line. Nice couple of fakes and down the sideline. Inside the 40, the 30, the 10. Touchdown SMU for Roderick Daniels Jr.
SMU throttles TCU. Were you guys locked in on this game? And any surprise, an immense offensive outpouring from SMU.
Well, yeah, and that's something Rhett Lashley at SMU has been known for, is having really good offenses. But the last time we saw them on the field against BYU 2 weeks ago, they didn't score a touchdown. And they were jumping back and forth between their quarterbacks. Yeah. So, yeah, to see them throw 66 up there after struggling pretty immensely over the first three games of the season, that was wild. And not only did they score that many points, they scored it on punt return touchdowns, they scored it on pick sixes, fumble returns. Like, and this was with starting Kevin Jennings, their new quarterback for SMU. So they're breaking in this new quarterback in his first full start, and they just, like you said, throttled him. And Sonny Dykes got ejected at the beginning of the third quarter of this game.
Yes. I don't know. I don't want to make Mickey Spagnuolo sad.
Oh, no.
But if I told you I don't totally understand what to make of Missouri and their really high rating that still is mostly intact, what would you say? Yeah.
Wins or wins.
Undefeated,
okay,
baby.
That's fair. That Vanderbilt game, though, had to cause some concern, did it not?
That, and I think the Boston College game last weekend, too. And Boston College is better than people thought they'd be, but they took Mizzou to the brink at home. And then, this game goes to overtime, and it only didn't go to more overtimes because Vandy missed a kind of a chip shot field goal at the end of overtime. So this loss or this win They're 4-0, like Corey said. They dropped out of the top 10. I believe they're 11 in the AP poll now.
Do you think they're a top 10 team?
I don't. Okay. I didn't believe in them before the season, but you look at their schedule and they don't really play. They don't play a whole lot of the top tier SEC teams. Like, they go to UMass for a game coming up, which is just a really weird matchup just in terms of like teams that are playing each other. But
they go to A&M and Bama.
And A&M just struggled to put away Bowling Green at home. And
no,
I still don't know what to make of them.
Freaking kidding.
So, I wonder if that elevates, if their wins against them elevates them because they're ranked number 11 right now. Yeah. I wonder if that if a team beats them, does that elevate them because of where they are ranking? And I don't know how that works.
I don't think it would elevate like a Alabama, but if an A&M beat them, then absolutely.
Yeah. Now, since we might have made Mickey Spagnuolo sad, let's cheer up Derek Holland, who texted us earlier, don't hate on Michigan.
I mean, sorry.
Sorry about that. All right. Michigan said passing the ball is stupid. Let's just run against USC. It felt like it was amazingly impressive or effective. Let's say effective. Is that a fair way to put it? Now that we have to break Jared Sandler's heart, Michigan, very effective at running the ball against USC.
Yeah, and it was with their, at the time, backup. I assume he's going to see more time now, running back Khalil Mullings. He was amazing. And he had, and from early in this game to the very end, he had multiple like 40, 50-yard rushes that either scored or set up scores. And Michigan just punched USC in the mouth most of the early part of this game. And USC found a way to respond, but not enough. And I think, you know, Michigan comes into the season with Donovan Edwards as their lead back. He's on the cover of the new College Football Game. But I think this Mullings kid is about to just take off. That's how impressive he was in this game.
Corey, he has 53 carries for 429 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's 8.1 yards per carry.
Let's get that guy and his offensive line.
Man, no freaking kidding.
Still not as good as my Boise State running back, Ashton Gentry.
Oh,
he had 127 yards and no touchdowns, which is a down day for him, and he's still averaging 10.5 yards a carry.
All right. Who do you want to go to next, Stanford or Nebraska? Because both notable outcomes for pretty different reasons.
I'll go Stanford because I was really impressed them going all the way across the country on a Friday night playing a Syracuse team with a established starting quarterback in Kyle McCord, who came from Ohio State last year and looked pretty good from these first couple games. And Stanford, at the end of that game, what they had to do was drive the length of the field to score points to win, get a field goal. And that's exactly what they did.
So they're 4-0. Indiana is 4-0, just as we all predicted.
And Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, this is his first year at that school.
Is he going to quickly get scooped up elsewhere?
I don't know. He loves Indiana. He's the first coach in that school's history to start out 4-0.
Wow.
And they've been around since, they're in a founding member of the Big Ten. So they've been around since, you know, their football teams existed since the 1890s.
Okay. Oh, so maybe he's going to stick
around. I just
thought
that was a fun stat.
I don't know how noteworthy Temple is, but I did want to play cut number 15 because this is the Temple kicker lining up for a 64-yard field goal.
Snap down, kick on the way. Does it have enough leg? It is up and it is gone. Oh my goodness. My goodness.
Now, that is the second longest field goal in modern FBS history. Matic Trujillo hit the kick. It's also the longest kick in Lincoln Financial Field history, which is impressive in and of itself. Have you become desensitized by lengthy field goals? Because I still think it's neat, but I know people are making them at a crazy rate.
Not in college.
That is
definitely
true.
Not in
that
college. I mean, this is, even a 64-yarder in the NFL is rare. So I think anything over 60, you just have to be impressed by. But especially when it's a 19 or a 20-year-old kid who probably is missing from 40 in warmups,
yeah,
and then goes out there and just nails a 64-yarder. That will never not be impressive to me.
Now, Corey, this might surprise you to know. Did you know that the longest FBS field goal ever made was 69 yards?
Nice.
That was in 1976 when you were still allowed to kick off the tee. You were allowed to kick your field goals off a tee until 1989.
Dude, that would have been great against the Seahawks when Romo fumbled that ball.
Okay.
Remember that?
Unfortunately.
We could have kicked that and just ended up winning that game.
They could have kicked a 69-yarder in that game.
What is more disappointing, Nebraska's loss or you thinking that NC State was going to be awesome?
Oh, NC State. Oh my gosh. This is embarrassing. Like, yeah, I said OU's going to beat Tennessee. That stinks. I got that wrong. The NC State stuff. And we can go back to Tennessee because Tennessee played both NC State and Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a good defense. They hold Tennessee to 25 points. That's one thing. Lose by 10, whatever. NC State, that game is like a 13-point game at halftime. NC State loses 51-10 to Tennessee. They barely beat, I believe it was Louisiana Tech last week at home. Their starting quarterback gets hurt, so they're starting their backup, who hasn't really played that much, and they just get truck stopped by by Clemson. And that game was 45-7 at halftime, and it could have been so much worse.
I do kind of want to talk about Miami, but I'm curious, is there any other team or storyline you think maybe we should be focused on instead as we wrap this up?
Well, just from week 4, staying in North Carolina, watching James Madison put up 70 on North Carolina. Yeah. And that game was 60-24 with 5 minutes into the third quarter. So if James Madison wanted, they could have kept scoring. That could have been a whole lot worse. But the Beehive State, I want to highlight Utah going into Stillwater with a backup quarterback and beating Oklahoma State, get their first Big 12 win. And then BYU later in the night just destroying K-State in Provo. Playing at night in Provo against BYU, that just does not go well. And Kansas State found out the hard way.
But we do not approve of the BYU shirts, right?
No. Approve of everything they're doing right now. I did not think they'd be real this year. I think they absolutely are. Do not approve of that shirt.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Offset eye, play action, Daniels pumps, throws, wide open. Trent Scott is the recipient of Jaden Daniels' first career touchdown pass.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan as we feel bad for the G-Bag Nation. I'm sorry. As you guys are piling up bet payoffs, we've started to relive some of the things from the Wheel of Misfortune.
Ugh.
And for people who ask why we stopped doing that, I'm sure there was lots of reasons. We ran out of ideas. Here is one of the breaking points for me. One of our payoffs was I stapled a dollar bill to my arm. And people go, that's fake. And like on camera.
Yeah, it was on Facebook Live.
Yeah, we showed pulling the staples out. And it was
out of your prosthetic arm.
Yeah, out of my prosthetic arm. And you could see blood coming out. People were like, eh, you put tape on it.
That
I'm like, here's
that
the staple in the dollar bill.
Jeez, dude. And so that drives you crazy. When you do something amazing, something that's super painful, maybe embarrassing or something, and then somebody undercuts it and says it was weak.
Still to this know? Day, I have nightmares about Jesse Holly tackling me in the hallway.
Oh, my gosh. Dude.
Oh, my gosh.
What a form
video
tackle.
Is great. He just disappears out of the window.
We need to see if we can find that video that Sean Hudgens took from inside the studio. And we're on the outside, and you just see me disappear. And Sean goes, oh, my God.
And the boss, Gavin Spittle, kept like, hey, make sure he wears this helmet. Set up a pad or something. Make sure he's taken care of.
His guardian cap.
And he took his helmet off and then just got tackled on the floor like that. And he was like,
I didn't want to wear the helmet. I thought it would undercut the bit.
Yeah. He said, this thing looks stupid. I'm not wearing this. I don't know.
So with that in mind, where are you guys at in terms of stacking up these bet payoffs? I know it's not looking good.
I like the stapling on the person thing. You know, I was workshopping in my head, maybe we could do the dollars, maybe we could do like pin the tail on the donkey, you know, like a jackass,
yes. Yeah.
And let you guys staple things to me, yeah, you know?
A to your nail butt? Gun.
Maybe my butt, yeah, you know?
I think that's a winner.
I don't know if anywhere else is
that
know,
a payoff
fleshy
for,
enough.
For us? I feel like that becomes a bet payoff for us
Dawson
as well.
Payoff
we got I got a staple into myself, maybe?
Yeah.
He took a kick in the junk. Remember that from Colby? He kicked him square in the nuts.
Yes.
Oh, up there at the bowling alley place, right? The
Dave and Buster. It was Dave and Buster's. Yeah.
And that was a fun night.
Dave and Ball Busters.
I didn't love doing bet payoffs with Colby because he's like, now the people are going to get their money worth. Like we talked about the first year.
Yeah.
Where Shippy got what we called the ham flu because he got
slapped with a ham.
S smacked at him with that ham steak. Yeah. Colby tried to do that to me one year and the ham steak broke mid slap. And so eventually he just punched me with the ham over his face. And it's still over the part of his knuckles.
It has like knuckles.
It's still really.
He wants it to be really part of like a pro wrestling documentary.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, that's the energy he's going for. I believe that week I had actually uttered the phrase, I don't think Colby's actually that tough on air. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That so was he, just, he was taking it out.
Really, the bear. Really so appreciate Colby, that, Dawson.
I was just talking, man.
Like when we were at the medieval, the German fest. Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm going to hit you with a chair. And he hit me with a chair, and I fell down. And then he unilaterally decided, I'm going to hit you with a chair again.
I remember him saying something like,
the ground.
I didn't do it right. Let me do it again.
And I was like, no, you did. And then he hit me again. So, all right.
That's not messing around.
All right. We know Dawson is going to have to pay off. Who else is hurting right now?
Well, I mean, the entire program took an L this week. Now, Broadus just so happens to be on a historical heater coming out of the gates 0-3.
0-3. Every week we've
heard. First to ever do it.
Yep.
Call that the Cincinnati Bengal.
Yeah, or the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Terrible.
Do you guys have ideas for your bet payoffs?
I mean, I might have to do two if the Cowboys lose on Thursday. I've already picked the Cowboys for this week.
Oh, would you do them both?
Maybe. Maybe just try and burn them all at the same
double
time.
Double bet payoff on the same person?
Jeez, man.
Holy you should have seen Eric singing at your Shakerton's place.
I'm really sad.
That's awesome.
Did I miss that? Awesome. I heard people yell stars, though.
Yeah, we were yelling stars. Yeah, we did.
That was great.
I did very much appreciate that.
That was the shot in the arm that I needed.
All right. Good, stars. Good. Now, you mentioned the Cowboys. How, I guess, screwed are the Jags and the Bengals at this point? The Jags look like legitimately one of the worst teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bengals, I know they frequently struggle in the first 2 weeks, but they were seven and a half point favorite at home last night, and Jaden Daniels looked awesome.
None of that even matters anymore. None of this home, none of this favorite, none of this, oh my gosh, we're supposed to clobber you. It just doesn't even matter anymore.
Okay.
It doesn't even exist because we are getting, I think this weekend it was the biggest favorites, Bengals, Niners, Bucks, Browns, Raiders?
They all
lose outright. So it's like we know nothing right now. I thought it was a get-right game for the Bengals at home Monday night. Here we go. Been there, done that, 0-2, bounce back. And the offense was certainly better last night for them, but my goodness, Jaden Daniels was unstoppable.
There's somebody in this room that's picked the Commanders to be a much better team and might win the division this year. When Zach Wolf
pop up year.
Yeah.
Ooh, it happens.
Wooly boy. He's a film guy.
He's a Jaden Daniels believer, and the Commandos do this stuff. It's weird things happen in this division.
Would you have taken him? Like, let's say you had the first pick. Outside
I would not have taken him over Caleb Williams.
Okay.
No, I would not have. But I thought that he was easily the second best quarterback, and he has the skill set. I mean, you've seen what Lamar is able to do. He is a similar type of runner, but I think he's a better thrower. I mean, his deep ball, and he showed it last night to Terry McLaurin. He did that every week for LSU last year.
He sure did.
You watched it. It was with Brian Thomas Jr. It was absolutely a thing of beauty, the way he's able to drop it in there. Almost Russell Wilson-esque in his prime.
Those
where just
kind
of drops in. So Jaden Daniels, I'm not surprised that he's crushing it, but I didn't really want to see it. And I did think Joe Burrow, week threes, he'd been undefeated.
Yeah.
Like he started 0-2 four out of his five seasons. I thought Bengals are too good of a team. They're not going to lose at home on Monday Night Football, but hell, I know nothing.
My new question for you then, is Zach Taylor the coach of the Bengals in 2025?
No.
Okay.
It's crazy because they won more games than they should have last year without Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
It was kind of like one of those moral victory seasons. Hey, so it was... You were kind of thinking, all right, credit to the coach. He figured it out how to win more games than anybody thought he could with some random quarterback. But, yeah, if Joe Burrow's going to be healthy and you guys are going to play like this, you don't stand a chance.
You got to remember the Brown family. They had Marvin Lewis for about...
It's a good point.
That is a good point.
Felt like 20-something years that he was the coach, even though... I don't believe they're going to make a coaching.
That's the ultimate team who doesn't want to pay a coach to not work for them.
There's teams that just don't do that, and they're very, very, very much a patient. It's probably because of their dad was a coach. You know, they understand that whole thing.
Oh, they have a soft spot.
They have a soft spot for the head coach guy.
Hey, 214, thanks to them, they just sent a story with the video from Jesse Holly tackling you.
Just destroying
it. It was even more of a destruction than I remember. My gosh, you definitely should have worn a helmet. You were just laid out after that.
I tried to put my hand behind. You know what I really, and this is when I felt like more sympathy.
Oh my gosh, your head hits the ground. It completely misses the pad.
And I tried this, to like cover up my head. It was the next morning. I felt so much empathy for football players who do that again and again.
Sure.
Because it was Saturday morning, and I was like, ouch, here we go. Oh, my God. And I just kind of crumpled back into my bed.
I was missing.
Did you have a concussion?
Bro. No, I think I was good. I think
I was good.
I think I was good.
We had no chance. Yeah. 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 I
was only spitting up blood for
a
few hours.
I was out that night. I had a vacation planned, and special teams ace Jesse Holly steps in.
I'm
like,
upstairs, ice my balls and
spit up blood. That's what it's supposed to be. Like, one of them was going to tackle me, and then Jesse, I'll do it. And then Colby jumped off a chair and dropped an elbow on me as well.
If it wasn't for you being in front of me right now, that like, the video doesn't prove that you're even alive.
Yeah.
You just laid out in your
I survived,
Dunsky.
And then we got in trouble for not taking the proper safety precautions for that.
While you're laid out and presumably do have a concussion, even though you're in denial, it's Colby smashing you with the power driver.
Yeah. Oh, with an elbow. Awesome. An elbow. He goes, are you okay? And I said, no. And so he decided, go time.
Good times, man.
What do you guys got coming up on the program? Loaded day today, is it not?
Yeah, massive show, 420 CY, and at 5 o'clock, Eric Kendricks.
All right. Yeah. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation.
Be a good show.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I think your mic went up. Okay, but it's going to be a good show. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Roll home with us. I'm sorry I messed that whole thing up because he didn't say
you're
pure
welcome.
Gold as always.
All right.
That threw me off. G-Bag Nation next. We'll be back tomorrow, I guess. 10 to 2 right here on The Fan.
When did the Canadians get all upset about stuff, though?
All right, parents. It's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.